Amen. Praise God. We had a roundtable discussion. Brother Jimmy, it's good to have you. Amen. And as I said, he's a good Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Appreciate him. And if you're down in the Crane or Galena area, Aurora area, and you want to drop in, I know that Jimmy would love to have your help down at the First Baptist Church of Galena every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So you can check in. He also live streams his services. You can check that out, and it'll be a blessing. Amen.
Absolutely.
Brother Jimmy, you're a wonderful person. I enjoy having you with us. Amen.
I just feel like I'm having a stroke. None of this could be real, you know. Because I'm so happy, you know.
Amen. You're a blessing. We appreciate you so much. We're going to be preaching out of Revelation 21 and 22. And we will have open discussion. And we're going to sit down and talk about the beautiful scriptures tonight. And what a blessing it is to have Jimmy with us. Amen. I appreciate Jimmy Harris.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Praise God. And I want to encourage you. Somebody brought me some black jelly beans.
They're great.
Do you just hate me? They're great. You take them.
I'll take them.
But don't eat them while I'm trying to.
No, I stick to my plate.
Don't be eating them while we're trying to talk about the Bible here.
My choppers will fall out.
You'll get all jellied up. And we don't need no jelly belly preacher. Amen. Or yelly belly preacher. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be talking about God's new world order.
Now, amen to that.
Not man's world order, God's new world order. And in the 18th chapter of Revelation, the entire planet, the economy, everything in the planet collapses. Babylon collapses, everything collapses. And Jesus returns in the 19th chapter with his church. And on his thigh was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Enoch said he would come with 10,000s of his saints. That's you and me. Angels as well. We'll be coming back in glory to earth. And when we arrive to earth, we'll watch Jesus mop this whole mess up clean. Amen.
Amen.
And he'll start a millennial reign, 1,000 years. In fact, he will take the false prophet and the beast, which is a religious, a political antichrist. He'll take the political antichrist and the religious antichrist, the false prophet, and cast them alive into the lake of fire with fire and brimstone. And then he'll have an angel come in the 20th chapter of Revelation, Jesus will, and he'll just, any old angel will do, because he's going to mess with the devil. And the devil's a punk anyway. Amen. He's got a big ego, but he's just a punk. And so God just picks out any angel with a great chain, comes down in Revelation chapter 20, and lays hold of that serpent, Lucifer, the devil, and binds him for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, the church will reign with Jesus Christ on the earth. Amen. And there'll be a full 1,000 years there. At the end of the 1,000 years, of course, Lucifer will be bound in chains in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, Lucifer will get out for a little bit. He'll just fizzle real quick. He'll be conquered. And then God will bring a new heaven and a new earth. At the close of the millennium, there will be the great white throne judgment. And those that are not right with the Lord will be cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone. And then God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we're going to be talking about the holy city, Jerusalem, and we're going to look at some things that I wrote down. I thought it would be interesting if we looked at the possibilities of the holy city, Jerusalem. And I'm going to read the first 5 verses of Revelation 21. And John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write these things, or write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, I just want to share a little bit, and then Jimmy will get in on this. The holy city, Jerusalem, I feel in my heart that the holy city, after God judges, you know, the great white throne judgment, the earth melts, as Peter says, the earth will melt with fervent heat. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. And then there'll be a meltdown on earth, as Peter said, and then God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I believe personally that the holy city, Jerusalem, is already up there, already completed. I don't believe God's building the holy city, Jerusalem. I think it's already there. And I think your loved ones that have died in Christ and went to be with the Lord have already got an early peek on that holy city, Jerusalem. I think they've already enjoyed looking at that beautiful city. Now, Jimmy and I was talking about this, how big that city is. I want to give you some ideas, and then we'll get into some more discussions. I know Jimmy's just faunching at the bits to go. Jimmy, that's right, you are. There you go, buddy. But right now, currently, there are 8 billion people on this planet. Right now, 8 billion people. In Earth's history, they calculated that over the time of the little over six-year creation, there has been 117 billion people live on planet Earth. 100 years ago, there was just, and that was when Grandpa was alive, my grandpa, 100 years ago, there was 2 billion on Earth, just 2 billion. Now, if you do the calculations of the holy city, Jerusalem, you could easily say there's 25, 30 billion people that could be put in the holy city, Jerusalem. In fact, if you want to get technical about it, probably the holy city, Jerusalem, could hold half of the Earth's population in the billions. Because when you pack them in, you're going to go on a trip. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be packed in like you do in a jet airplane, but I'm saying that that holy city, when it comes down, is going to be full of the church. It's going to be full of God's saints. And it's possible that there'll be several billion. Let's say half of the people get saved, which that's probably not so. But let's say that half of the people get saved. Then that means that the church could easily, or the holy city, Jerusalem, could easily take in 60, 70 billion people. Might be a little cramped up, but it'd be like coming down out of heaven like an elevator to the new earth that God has created. He creates a new heaven and earth. Have you thought about that? The holy city, Jerusalem, will come to earth,
yes,
but it won't stop on the planet on its dirt.
No, because there's a new earth too.
Yeah.
The new heaven and the new earth. And James talks about the size of it. It's roughly 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. That is a large amount of space. But we get space arguments from people who refuse to believe the Bible. If we just read the Bible and believe what it says, we're safe. We get in trouble when we try to substitute opinions and estimates and stuff for what the Bible plainly says. All my life, I've been answering questions about the ark. How'd they get all those animals on there? It was only 300 foot. It was only 150 foot wide and 450 foot long. It was like his big barge, is what it was. And he didn't take full grown elephants on there and full grown giraffes. He took babies. They only had to be on there for a year. You just use a little common sense. That there was plenty of space and space to spare. The same thing with the new heaven and the new earth. As far as Christians being in the new heaven when it comes down, It says it comes down like a bride adorned for her husband. Well, who is the bride of Christ? We are. And so, you know, there will be Christians in the eternal state that will come down in the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah. Well,
that's where they're living.
And I don't think it's impossible for God to put all of the saints in the past until now and future in that holy city to come down like an elevator to the heaven, to the earth. So heaven's coming to earth. That's what the prayer is. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so the holy city will come down, but it won't stop on the planet. I believe verse 2 of chapter 21 says, "And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." Doesn't say a word about it touching down. And also he tells again in the 22nd chapter that this city is coming down. And as it comes down, it doesn't say that it touches the earth. So I'm convinced that when the holy city, Jerusalem, comes down, it will stop. It'll be somewhat about the size of the moon, but it won't be as far away as the moon. It will come right down, and I don't know what kind of atmosphere the earth will have, but it will come right down upon the mountains. It will be right close to the earth. And the water from the throne of God will replenish the earth because there'll be no sea. So God's river of life, the eternal water flowing from the throne of God, will literally water and furnish the whole planet with nourishment. And there'll be people living on the planet besides, you think about the Jewish people. There's going to be all kinds of life on the planet, and they're going to live. Some will be great tribulation saints. Some will be the Jewish saints. Some will be others that we don't know of. I'm sure angels will be around, walking around, you know, strutting their stuff, showing how God gave them good power. And that'll be cool when we get to that new heaven and new earth, and we can see them rascals that watched over us all these years. We can see those angels, and that'd be awesome. Amen. I worry about someone that sees an angel every time they get up and burp their Cheerios. I don't do that. Amen. When I burp my Cheerios, I don't see angels.
Well, I got to, you know, Cheerios are good for your heart, James. That's all I'm going to say. But in my mind...
You know, you bugged the far out of me.
Cheerios is what you give your kid to go sit down in front of the TV and watch cartoons, you know, 60 years ago. Breakfast is bacon and eggs and sausage and biscuits and stuff like that. Cheerios is, you know, what you eat at 10 o'clock at night when you can't decide what
you're
hungry.
It's wood, hay, and stubble. Cheerios, wood, hay, and stubble.
I'm getting some amens from the, front row over here.
Well, it says in Revelation 21, verse 10, that the holy city, Jerusalem, comes down, but it doesn't say it touches the earth.
That's right.
It says the holy city, Jerusalem, in verse 10, descending out of heaven from the earth. From heaven to the earth.
James, before we get completely away from it, we're talking about space in the amount of space, a cubic space that's in a 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 cube. 15 up, 15 wide, 15 long. There was a mathematician, or a physicist actually, at MIT or Cal Poly, it's one of the big technical deals. It's been about 40 years ago, but he said that all the people, it's a matter of distribution. He said that all the people on the world then, there was probably 6 or 7 billion on the earth at that time when this report was written. But it was when Reagan was president. It wasn't ancient history. It wasn't that long ago, 40 plus years. But it said that every person in the world could live in the continental United States and have plenty of room. Of course, there's some places nobody could live. But if you're just talking about space, the amount of room, you could fit the entire population of the world right here in the United States. And then it gets even more in perspective when what James said last week, that right now, almost 70% of the world is already covered with water. There ain't that much land.
It won't be.
I think it's 69%, and that kind of fluctuates with, you know, which scientists.
So that would inhabit trillions of people. The earth literally could inhabit trillions of people with no sea. And so the water's coming down, there'll be lakes and
rivers. And it says there'll be no sea.
Be no sea, very clear. And you can't say that Ezekiel, you know, you have those that get into replacement theology. They teach that the church took the place of Israel, that Israel no longer is in the equation. And in Ezekiel 47 and 48, it talks about Ezekiel's temple. And they try to say, well, Ezekiel's talking about the holy city of Jerusalem coming down. He's talking about the new heaven, new earth.
No.
Because they're trying to eliminate a thousand-year reign.
Why would he measure something to be built that's already built by God?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look at the Ezekiel account of the Ezekiel's temple, it's different. There's the sea there. There's sickness. There's disease. There's, you know, there's just things there that isn't there in the holy city of Jerusalem. No tears, no pain, no sorrow. So when you got people that trying to say, well, you know, Ezekiel just had a rough day and he wrote down some things, and really he's talking about the new city of Jerusalem, they don't have a thing. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. All I got to say is I hope Ezekiel talks to them. If they get to heaven, I hope Ezekiel gets a hold of them. And trust me, I've read enough of Ezekiel. I don't want him to get a hold of me.
Absolutely.
Let him get a hold of Jimmy, but not me. What do you think?
Well, the last time I was got a hold of it did not turn out well.
It didn't?
I'd like to take this opportunity, if my wife is watching.
Who brought these?
Right now. Look, baby, I got black jelly beans.
You lover boy. I don't know. Velda be so proud of you. She'll be waiting at the door to kiss you when you get there. Black jelly bean.
I don't know, man. But you know what? I think she'll be there.
Huh?
I said I think she will be there, though.
Yeah, I know she'll be there. Yeah, she'll be there. And you'll be glad to see her. She's a great lady. I appreciate her. I want to look at some things tonight that may shock you. And in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be nations. There will be nations on the planet. There actually will be people living, going back and forth to the holy city of Jerusalem in merchants. They'll be doing business. And we talked last Sunday night, we talked about the tree of life and all the leaves covered the rivers, the road, the streets of gold and the river. And it says that the leaves covered on either side of the river, one tree of life, so huge that it covered both sides of the river, all the leaves, and the leaves were for the preserving and the perpetual health of the nations. I don't think they get the leaves together and boil them and make green tea. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about rubbing leaves on you. It's talking about people will come to that holy city of Jerusalem, nations will, and they'll come to the council of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. They'll bring their problems, they'll bring their need under the shadow of the tree of life. And so the tree of life, the leaves are for preservation. They're to take care of the nations and to see to it that the nations are always healthy and blessed. And I think in the new city of Jerusalem, there'll be no currency. But I think in the new earth, there will be currency. I don't know what it'll be, but I do believe that there will be commerce during that new heaven, new earth. What do you think?
Well, I don't think there won't be a need for a currency in the new heaven and in the new heaven because there won't be any commerce that goes on there. But when there's some interaction going on here, because we've got the healing of the nations, we've got the pure river, the water of life, we've got the tree of life, we've got servants. It describes in chapter 22 servants that will serve him, and there his servants shall serve him, and these servants are gathered around the throne of God, and so they must have activity. Well, where's this activity taking place? We get hints from the millennium in a way of what might be a picture of some of the things going on in the new earth, because it talks about that the nations will have to come to Jerusalem during the millennium. There's a pattern set up. The nations have to come to Jerusalem. If they don't show up, they don't get any rain the next year.
That is in the millennium.
And it's a pattern of God training humanity, many of whom will enter into this new heaven and new earth. They're living in the millennium. But there has to be a training period. And the reason for that is sin is gone from the world, but it's not really. You see, Satan is bound. So Satan can't tempt me if I'm in the millennium. I don't have the presence of sin. I don't have the world to tempt me, because it's a perfect, restored world under the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the animals are happy, you know. But you see, there's one thing that people always forget, and that's why Satan has to be loosed after the 1,000 years for a short season. I don't need Satan to make me sin. I don't need the world to make me sin. I don't need temptation to make me sin.
Yeah, you're jamming.
Sin is in me. There's no way it can come out of me as long as I'm in this flesh. And so what happens is that sin nature is still there. That's why so many people will follow Satan when he's let out of the prison, when he's let out of the abyss. But God is training people who will serve him in the new heaven and the new earth, because a good portion of those people will not follow Satan because they accepted the pattern. Even though they still had sin in their mortal body while they're living upon the earth, at a time, if a child dies at 100, they'll say that he died young.
Yeah.
And all this disease and stuff is going to be gone. If we didn't have to cope with disease and accidents and the wickedness of evil men and women, if we didn't have to put up with all that, think about how long we could live right now. You know, our life expectancy would really shoot up, you see. But when those people are being prepared, and some of them will enter into this new heaven and new earth. Of course, they will be changed when they go into the new heaven and the earth, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But there'll be a difference there. They've been trained maybe for this service, that they're going to be servants of the Lord and serve him on this new earth, this activity. We don't know what it will be. But I'd like you to think about one thing, and you can use this whether we're talking about the new heaven and the new earth, or the rapture, or the Antichrist, anything that has to do with prophecy. Most of us have been taught, and we learned to study from our study Bibles, we have what we call the Greek model, which is Aristotle and the Greek philosophers. And when we think of prophecy, we think of a prediction. A prophet makes a prediction, the prediction gets fulfilled, that's the prophecy, and that's the Greek model. And the New Testament was written in Greek. But you know what? It's about a Jewish people and a Jewish Messiah who's not turning into a Gentile right now, by the way. He's going to come back and sit on the throne of David. In the Jewish mind, if you read Jewish literature from the rabbis and, you know, from the thousands of years back, all the way back to the time of Daniel, if you read what the rabbis write, their idea of prophecy is not prediction, it is patterns. And so much of the stuff that James and I dig up is because we've seen the patterns in the prophecy.
And so
if you just suspend, if you look at the pattern, what is God doing? What is the pattern God's setting? Well, if God has set a pattern in this regard, then that's what he intends the pattern to be. It's going to be coming into view.
Phases.
A graduation, that's a good way for it.
Graduation phases. It will lead up to the holy city, Jerusalem.
Exactly.
I'm not totally convinced that the human, I use that for a lack of a better word, I do believe that some of them servants more than likely will be angels as well, because angels were meant to serve us.
Right, what, Hebrews 1?
Yeah, they serve us. And I think angels also will be part of that number. When we say servants, We're not saying slaves. We're saying servants that honor the king. And so it could be angelic or us, not the church. We're the bride of Christ. They serve us. I mean, we'll be the Lamb's bride. And we'll be pretty privileged as a church in the new heaven and new earth. But I want to point out something real quickly. Notice in verse 4 of this 22, verse 4 says, back up to verse 3, it talks about to serve him. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There'll be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So the bride is married to Christ, will be, and the servants will serve us. That doesn't mean that we'll dictate to them. It just means that the holy city, Jerusalem, will be the hustling and bustle part of the planet. Now, I'll say this. The Bible says on their forehead was given the name of God, on their forehead. Now, I want you to know he's not talking about some cheap tattoo. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
He's not talking about some cheap tattoo. He's talking about the name of God being on their forehead. Let's look at verse 4 of chapter 22, I believe it is. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We're not talking about a cheap tattoo. If you've got a tattoo, help yourself. But we're not talking about a fleshly tattoo here. We're talking about a glorified tattoo. And if you use this verse as basis to get permission to put on a tattoo, you're twisting the scriptures. Some people say, well, in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus comes back, King of kings and Lord of lords on his thigh. Trust me, that's symbolism. Trust me, that doesn't mean when we see Jesus, he's going to be covered with tattoos. No, but there will be a mark. There'll be the name of God on the foreheads of his people. And it will look beautiful. It won't be, you know, some fleshly tattoo. And once again, I'm not here bashing tattoos. I'm just saying this is not, don't take these scriptures as permission to go out and get addicted to putting tattoos on your body. It's just not in the Bible. You don't have permission to do that. And I'm not going to go any further. What do you think? Better leave it alone?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't have a tattoo, so I can't even speak to it. It's over my head. But I would, you know, back to what James was saying about this thing in your forehead. If we think about the new covenant, you know, where God announces to Jeremiah that he's going to establish a new covenant with the people of Israel, with his people Israel, which, by the way, turns out to be the new covenant, you know, represented by the broken body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the new covenant. Well, he starts talking about Jeremiah 31:31. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." At this time that he said this, there was no house of Israel anymore. Israel had been defeated and carried away captive 120 years before by the Assyrians. But he's talking about a future time. And he says, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it. I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And if you compare that with what Jesus said in the upper room, so the Holy Ghost is going to come back. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to make you remember everything that I said. Yeah. And what did God tell Jeremiah? "I put my words in your mouth." So see, it's like our thoughts. you know, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They're going to come a day when our thoughts indeed will be God's thoughts.
Yep.
And our ways will be God's ways. That is the fulfillment of the new covenant. That was bought and paid for on Calvary with the cross.
Yeah.
That's what established the new covenant. That's what wrote it. That's what made it. But we won't know the end result of that full price and the full benefit of that covenant until we're actually here in chapter 22 of Revelation. Because it's beyond our mind to conceive of it.
And when someone dies in the Old Testament, up to the time Jesus was on the cross, when a saint died, they went to paradise. But now when a saint dies or falls asleep, they go to heaven. And they'll see the holy city, Jerusalem. One of these days, the Lord's going to say, load up! And they load up in the holy city, Jerusalem. They come down to earth. Why? Because God's going to melt everything. He's going to melt the atmosphere. He's going to destroy all germs and all disease. He's going to melt the planet down, make a new heaven and a new earth. And where are we going to be? We're going to be crowded in that elevator called the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down to earth. And just hovers over earth. And then the blessing comes. Look at chapter 21. Verse 24 through 26, and Jimmy will have something to say about this as well. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. What light? The holy city Jerusalem light. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. That's why you have 12 gates, the names of the Jewish tribes, one tribe on each gate, three gates on each side, four square city. And I believe that the Jewish tribe will go through that gate. They may even come out of that gate, in and out of that gate. That's their gate. But anyway, they do bring their glory and honor into it. So they bring their gifts to the Lord, and they come into the holy city, Jerusalem. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Where's there not going to be any night? It's not going to be any night in the holy city, Jerusalem. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So the earth is going to be covered with nations. The holy city, Jerusalem, is going to be giving life to the planet, light to the planet. It is the city that never sleeps. It is a city that never grows dim. It's light, and the nations of the world receive light from it. I think there may be a possibility there'll be night and darkness in the earth, that there'll be the sunrise and the sunset. But the holy city, Jerusalem, will be the light of the world. And that's where the nations will come, and they will receive their light through the Lamb of God. What do you think about that, Jimmy? Possibility, isn't it?
It's hard for me not to break into song. I'm almost like an MGM musical, you know. Where the Lamb is the light in the midst
Go
of
ahead.
The night in that beautiful city of gold.
Sing it,
know?
Jimmy. Sing it, Jimmy.
Where the sun never sets and the leaves never fade, and the righteous forever will shine like the stars in that beautiful city of gold. And I know you know that song.
Amen.
I would like to, you know, this is not a pet peeve particularly, but I just like to point this out, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. I'm not going to disfellowship with somebody who thinks different. But how many times have you heard someone say, well, the Lord will come back as soon as, Jesus will come back as soon as he's finished building our mansions?
And already built.
Yeah, I know it. That's what you said. But how many times have we heard that, you know, especially with the popularity that you see in many teachings about the Judean, the Galilean wedding ceremony, you know, where the betrothal happens and the son goes home to the father's house. He builds on the room to the house, and then he can't go back and get his bride until his daddy tells him that the room's finished. And then one night he says, son, you're done now. You're all finished. And then he and his friends go to pick up his wife and bring her home. And that's why the brides have to be ready for the bridegroom. That's what the parable in Matthew 25 is about. And but I got to tell you, Jesus spoke everything into existence in 6 days. Amen. So how could it take him 2,000 years to build a condo?
It didn't. He went to build a place for us. That place is where we can go because we are a full-time job for Jesus.
That's right.
Remember what he said? I go to prepare a place for you. So he's not so much preparing a place for you. He's preparing you for that place.
Amen.
Basically is what he's saying. It's important that we understand that. Jesus has a full-time job. He ever liveth to make intercession for all of us.
He ever liveth to make intercession.
It's easy for him to make a world. But he had to come to the world and die on the cross of Calvary to save a world.
That's right.
Very easy for him to make the heavens and the earth. That's no problem with God. But he had to roll up his sleeves and come to earth, born of a virgin, Jesus Christ. Lived a sinless life, went to the cross, died, went to the tomb, rose again from the grave. That, my friend, was Jesus' full-time job for 33 years. And now he's in heaven and he's still working things out because he ever lived to make intercession for you and I.
And here on earth, as we get caught up in our day-to-day struggles, and we all have struggles, We have things that break down. We have car trouble. We have house trouble. We have cleanups to do. There's just always something we got to do in our lives. And it's real easy to get bogged down and we lose sight of just how powerful Jesus is. He can do anything. He can be everywhere at the same time.
Yes.
And there's nothing that's out of his reach. Nothing.
That's right.
He can do absolutely anything.
But he has to watch where he steps or he'll step on us.
That's right.
Hey, we're fragile.
That's right.
We're really fragile. And so the Lord's got to be careful.
The good news is that he won't use you until he's broken you in two. As long as you're still okay, he got no use for you.
Yeah.
If you're still okay with yourself, you don't fit in. I think it was old Harry Ironside, Dr. Harry Ironside, who said, God cannot use a man until he has completely broken him.
Yeah, I believe that.
And I guess, or a woman.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, you look at this, the new city, most people's got it in their head, well, you know, we're going to go to heaven, we're going to be up there forever. And they've eliminated Israel, they've had replacement theology. They totally blow by, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They totally blow by the fact that God's bringing it down to earth. He's bringing us to earth in a new glorified body. And we go to heaven, yes, but heaven's going to come down to earth. And it's going to be one of the most incredible creations, most incredible blessings that we'll ever see. Can you imagine the water gushing out of that city? I don't know exactly the recycling would take place, if there is such a thing as recycling.
But it would be endless.
And the water of life coming on the earth and pools of water. Remember I said in one of our lessons, Jimmy, when I talked about the street of gold?
Oh, yeah. It was translucent.
And the city is transparent. The whole city is see-through. The whole city is a see-through city. And that's 1,500 floors upward, a mile each, 1,500 mile high. And the throne is at the top. The water comes out of the throne and makes its journey down through the 1,500 miles. In every corner, the water fills every cubic inch, every cubic mile, every inch of that. The water comes down. It's encased. There is no roads per se. There'll be roads going in and out. The Bible speaks of a road. But you need to understand that it's not going to be, I realize the Bible refers to on either side of the river was the tree of life, the leaves, but we need to understand this. It's not really a river bank. The river's flowing through a road.
Of gold.
Yeah, transparent gold. And so the river is flowing all the way around this 1,500 mile cubic city. And then the water comes out of that city like great Niagara Falls waterfalls on the earth. That's why the city's close to earth. And then there's the blessing. The water comes, the fruit comes, the tree of life is there, and the nations come to the city for counsel, for healing, perpetual. They're not sick, but perpetual life. And it's just amazing. Something like Adam and Eve had perpetual life until they got stupid.
You know, right? you talk about the perpetual life, the perpetual water, and I'm sure the perpetual tree.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've brought this up three or four times already, that there his servants shall serve him, and there would be activity going on this new earth. Most people's, you know, you go to a funeral and, you know, they say, well, you know, they've gone to their eternal rest. You know, it's like you're just going to be sitting, you know, on a bench somewhere or on a cloud. It's not going to be that way. If it's going to last forever, could you think of anything more boring than doing nothing? I mean, we're made in God's image. And if we get bored with doing nothing, maybe he likes to do stuff too. He's a God of activity. And besides, just take, if you don't think about anything else, just take the one phrase, and there his servant shall serve him. Well, if you got servants serving you, they got to be doing something.
Right. And we'll get to fellowship, we'll get to eat, we'll get to works of the Lord. Hey, I'm going to go to that glorified Brahms. No calories, glorified banana splits, no calories, eat all I want. Amen.
There's no calories in heaven.
I tell you, that will be utterly good.
Oh. You know, usually it takes me to tell a joke
that'd be bad. That'd be utter good. That'd be utter good.
Yeah, but on the other hand.
It'd be utter good.
But yeah, it'll be a place of activity, James. There'll be stuff to do. Yeah. Nothing. I mean, I got no interest. I mean, I don't want to go to hell, but you know, if you're going to go somewhere and sit in your little apartment and stare at the gold walls and do nothing for eternity, that doesn't sound that attractive either.
Float around like a little naked baby with wings.
Yeah. And there's no shades to draw the light. Oh, you know, the walls are transparent.
He got his wings.
Oh, yeah.
Clarence got his wings.
Every time the bell rings.
He got his wings. Trust me, you're not going to have no wings.
All my friends on Facebook, every time somebody dies, they say, well, heaven got another angel today.
Yeah, he was an angel when he died.
There are no more angels that are going to be made. They were all made. That's not making angels.
We're better than the angels.
That's right.
We have greater promises. The Lord's redeemed
us. That's right.
We're new creatures in Christ. You got anything else you want to say? We're going to have questions here in a minute.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just go to the questions. Are we going to go through the rest of 22?
We probably should.
Okay.
We got to gabbing too much.
Okay, because there's stuff I want to say about the book and the blessings
We'll be back next Sunday night.
Okay.
You'll be here, won't you?
I'll be here.
You got to be at Galena First Baptist Church Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
You'll be back here.
On the square.
Next Sunday night. Be there or
on
be
the,
square.
On the square. Be there or be square.
Be there or
you,
be square.
You can't be square. You got to be there.
We bad.
Or here.
We bad.
Now, I wasn't stealing your population, but Adam was with us this morning.
Good,
but he was nearby, so he came.
I've got a few others I'll give you, too. April the 16th, I'm going to start preaching in Galena First Baptist Church every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. You're invited to come. If you're watching this live stream and you live around Crane, Aurora, Galena area, I'll be there every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Jimmy will be there when he can. And we'll be having preaching and music. Sister Gayla will be working in the music and Charlie. And we're going to have a good time.
We are going to have a good time.
We need your help. If you can come and help us out, we want to kind of revive the church and get a little more stability going there. And it'll be good.
I've still got some spring revival stuff on my schedule, but for most of the time that James and Gayla and Charlie will be there, I will be there on Tuesday nights. So
we're looking forward to it. We're going to be putting an ad on YouTube and Facebook just any day now about the Tuesday night meetings.
Yes.
There at Galena, and you'll enjoy that clip.
Just a little over a month away.
Yeah. So we get ready to do it, and that's where your pastor will be every Tuesday night. And it's going to go on for about 3 months. So I don't have any preconceived, ideas that we're going to have massive crowds starting out. It may just be me.
Well,
I don't know.
3 months essentially is a season. And then after the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness and the angels came, it said that the devil left him for a season.
Right.
So maybe the devil will leave us for a season.
I'm going to slip in. I'm going to slip in that season. Maybe the Lord will take the devil and chain him for 3 months.
For 3 months. He'll leave us for a season.
That'd be cool. Probably won't.
But that's okay, but too.
But he probably won't.
We can wish.
We can wish. All right. You got a mic over there? Anybody got a question tonight or a comment? I always enjoy spending time with Jimmy. I enjoy the talks that we have, the round table discussions that we have. I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to going down on Tuesday nights and working in his church, and hopefully we can kind of build up some strength there. If you watch us on live stream and you can come, we'd love to have you. Amen.
And if you can hear anything, it's because Josh hooked it all up.
Yeah, that's good.
So is the millennium on this earth or the new earth?
The millennium will be here on this earth after the Great Tribulation. Yep. After the Great Tribulation, there'll be the false prophet and the beast will be put in the lake of fire and brimstone, and the Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and Jesus will rule and reign on the earth with us. We'll reign with him for 1,000 years, and that's in chapter 20 of Revelation.
And one thing to add to that, it doesn't say it in these words in the scripture, but most people that I've read refer to chapter 21 and 22 with the new heaven and new earth. They call that the eternal state.
Yeah.
It's like there's not going to be another state for us after that.
Yeah, well, we're not going to be changed.
Or at least none is mentioned.
Once we get to heaven, if we go to heaven just any time, we're not going to have house improvements.
No.
I mean, one more. I was under the impression that the nations would be coming to the throne in this earth.
That's true.
They will in the millennium, and they also will in the new heaven and new earth. Both.
But in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no sin. And no possibility of sin.
And the nations will come to the Lamb in the millennium. And the Lamb actually will penalize nations that don't honor him and cut off the rain. And the earth will have difficulties during the millennium if they don't obey the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his throne. The church will also be
under the impression that, that there's no sin in the new earth.
Right.
The new heaven and new earth.
The new heaven and new earth.
But there will be sin in the millennium.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, but that's on this earth.
That's right. Okay. Right. And the new heaven, new earth, no sin.
That's two different eras.
Yeah.
The way I get interpreting what you was getting, it was just backwards. So.
Okay. Well, did I?
I wanted to make it clear.
Did we explain it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because the earth itself. And the millennium will not be totally redeemed. But at the end, Lucifer will be crushed. The heavens and the earth will melt with fervent heat. And then God will create a new heaven, new earth. And that's when the holy city, Jerusalem, will come down. And that new earth will have no sin at all.
There will still be sinners on the earth during the millennium.
But not in the other one.
Right. But that's why Satan is loosed to
try them.
Try them. And those that was born during that time.
Because you must be born again.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. We're
you got it, Dale. You got it. Amen.
Okay.
You're right on, buddy.
Okay.
Awesome. Anybody else?
I'm close to this, but we'll get there.
Well, I have two. In Revelation 21, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Definition of passed away. Does that mean change from one condition to another, or does that mean annihilated?
Well, Peter describes an annihilation after the great white throne.
When Peter describes it as melting.
Yeah, he says in chapter 3, he says that, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Yeah. And also Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then, so yes, it will be a total.
Passed away is
what it means removed. It means totally, gone.
Totally annihilated, gone, melted down.
And the second question had to do with, when we have the new heaven and the new earth, does God then take up residency from heaven to earth, or does he still stay in heaven? He takes up residency. He moves his residency. Well, that's a bad word. Let's use headquarters. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, the truth is God's everywhere.
Right.
And he'll be
actual,
in...
His actual...
Yeah, he's coming to earth to set up headquarters because he has an inside affection for earth because he died for it. He's the bridegroom that died for the bride.
I don't know whether this will cause
Good question. Good question.
I don't know whether that, ma'am, I don't know whether this will shed light or throw a blanket over the lamp, but there's a in chapter 21, if we remember that when Moses built the tabernacle and then when Solomon built the temple, it's a replica of the throne room of God. That's what it's supposed to represent.
Yeah.
It was the temple. And then after the new heaven and the earth come down, in verse 22 of chapter 21, it says, I saw no temple therein. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they're the temple of it. So they're there, and it talks about God being on his throne, and it talks about the river running from underneath his throne. So you use the word residence. That's okay, because he called the temple. He said, that's the place where I put my name.
Do you remember where Paul said, I think it was Apostle Paul that stated that in the end, the kingdom of Jesus will be handed to the Father?
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yeah. So what you're going to have is...
We read that the other
Jesus
day.
Is going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, he will hand it to the Father.
It's a weird thing at work, guys, is that the Father gives us to Jesus. No man can come to the Son except the Father
draw
him.
That's true.
The Father gives us to Jesus, and then Jesus gives us to the Father, to the glory of the Father.
John chapter 10 and John chapter 17.
Yeah, it's a kind of a circular thing. God loves Jesus so much, he's given him us. Jesus loves the Father so much, he gives us to him.
God
purified, holy, separate.
God gave you to Jesus so that Jesus could straighten you out.
That's right.
Clean you up, forgive you, and seal you with the Holy Ghost.
That's what the Holy Ghost
said. So that you can go to heaven.
That's right. That's
so the Father
exactly
won't
true.
Kill you when you get there.
That's exactly true.
Because Jesus gets you prepared to see the Father.
Jesus stands between us and the wrath of God.
That's true.
I got kind of a question and an observation. It has to do with Revelation 22 in verse 3 and 4. And I'll kind of do it a little bit backwards. But in 4, it says that we will see God and the Lamb, and his name shall be in his foreheads. And you had kind of talked about, when we go there, that his thoughts will be in our hearts and in our minds. And that's kind of how I observed that would be in his mind, because I don't really think God needs to see his name on my forehead. He knows that I would be his. And the other thing that I had a question about in verse 3, it said, and there shall be no more curse. Is that original sin that they're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The curse of the garden.
And you're correct when you talk about the in the forehead is correct. But you have to also understand that during the Great Tribulation, it was a very visible mark on the person. And there is very visible marks on angels. And so I would assume not only in our head, we may actually have his name that's visible. Because, I had an uncle that wrote his name on everything he had. And God may write his name. I'm not going to write my name on Jimmy. I don't want
to. It might be like a brand, but I tend to think that it's in us instead of on us.
Well, I do believe that it's in us, but I think it could also be something that's visible.
It could be, yes.
Because it might be part of the gorgeous part of our body.
Because in Revelation 19, when the Son of God is coming down leading the armies of heaven, it said that on his thigh there was a name written.
Yeah. But that's symbolic.
I know.
Well.
I'm trying to remember, I was afraid, Jimmy brought it up a little bit. The temple and the new and the heavenly Jerusalem will be the Father and Son. We know that.
Yes.
Go to the temple. There's not a. Well, if you go back to the millennial temple that Ezekiel saw, it was all patterned after the heavenly.
Yes.
My question is, I'm sure that Christ, when he rules the after the end of the millennial, I'm sure he'll find no fault with that millennial temple. I'm wondered what you think of the fact, because when he destroys the earth with fire, he's going to preserve all the people that are on earth that are
his. He will preserve it.
Would it not be possible he preserves that millennial temple and reinstates it back on the new earth?
Hey, God can do anything. Personally think that God has a museum. I personally think the cross is somewhere. That actually the cross that Jesus died on is somewhere. Because God is a very sentimental God.
Well, my thing is, Ezekiel said it was patterned after the heavenly.
Yeah.
Well, there's a temple in what he saw, but it's the millennial temple. Well, that comes into play at the start of the tribulation period.
Right? Yeah.
Start of the millennium.
Millennium.
And I'm sure by the time he's got rid of what he's going to get rid of, I don't think he's going to get rid of that millennial temple.
He could hang on to it. I know I would.
Yeah. And I think he's going. I think that's what they're going to be on the new earth. I do.
Well, if he preserves us, and if
But you do know that they'll have to go to the holy city, Jerusalem, to show their honor and their treasures to the Lord. They can't go to Ezekiel's temple to do that. But I agree with what you're saying, Jerry. I also need to point out that in Jerusalem, the temple was in Jerusalem. The temple was in Jerusalem. And it's always has been in Jerusalem, the temple. But the new holy city, Jerusalem, is Jerusalem, the holy city Jerusalem. So the city is the new Jerusalem.
Is it considered that during the millennial?
No, that's after.
No, after. That'd be in the new heaven, new earth.
Comes down. Okay.
Yeah. Because Jesus will be the temple. He'll be the priest, the light.
I'm presuming the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and earth are eternal?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The new heaven and the new earth, the smart people that write the books say that they call that the eternal state. It's like, as far as we know, there may be something else because we don't know the mind of God. We do know there's activity on the new earth at this time, but the Bible doesn't mention there being another state after that. And I refer back to the verses Jay mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, where the Son will be subject to the Father so that in God we will be all in all under God.
Right. And there won't be any street sweepers in the holy city of Jerusalem.
But that is eternal, yes.
Yeah.
I have to share, you brought up Brahms earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
And Sherry and I were at Sonic this afternoon, and she said, ask the pastor if there's ice cream in heaven.
Well, it wouldn't be heaven without it.
And also, I got hit on Facebook. I saw a question on Facebook a while back about, and this is a statement of gratitude to you two, 2 Timothy 4:2, those who preach should preach their Bible.
Sure.
And this
Amen.
Is gratitude to you all for your willingness
Thank
to
you.
Do this frequently on Sunday nights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Well, when I get to heaven, there'll be ice cream. If you don't want any, fine. There'll be ice cream.
You can trust what I say at your own risk, but you can completely trust what this says. And the more of this that I have in my mouth, the more trustworthy we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right, we got to quit. We're running out of time. We'll be back here next Sunday night. Jimmy will be with us. We'll get into the rest of this chapter 21, look at some things that's important that we understand.
And blessings and cursings.
That's true.
Oh, my.
That's true. Oh, my, oh, me. That's true.
Lions and tigers and bears.
You going to sing that for
him? No, that's not a song. That's like a...
We'll put some music to it.
That's right. Josh, we'll let the workers week. We'll have to come. We're going to come up with a new number.
Put that on the list. I've had fun tonight.
I did too.
I've had fun tonight. And I've enjoyed you guys' good questions. And we're just growing in the Lord, and we're enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you that God's through with Israel. He's not.
Amen.
And the church didn't take Israel's place. There's no such thing as replacement theology. And people who try to eliminate Israel, and take a look at Israel right now. We're getting close to the end. Take a look at it. We're getting close. And understand that Israel has a special place in God the Father's heart. And the church has a special place in the Son of God's heart. And so there are two different things, and we're looking forward to soon coming. Amen? Glad you came.
Amen.
You done, Jimmy?
I'm never done, but I'll stand up.
Where'd them jelly beans come from?
I don't know who brought them, but...
Who put them on the table?
I'm taking them home.
Chris put them on the table.
Really? That's good stuff, man.
Yeah. Well, you said one for the children, one for the pastor.
I don't want one.
He gave his to me.
Yeah. You take them to Velda.
We'll eat them.
And tell them they came from Chris. Do not tell them they came from me.
One time,
do not tell Velda that came from me.
Right before we got married, I came up here. We were moving her stuff back to Texas, and we stopped at Love's, and she bought this bag of black jelly beans because I had mentioned I like licorice. Well, if I got to talking too much, she started pushing the black jelly beans in my mouth. And I was like driving an old junker car and holding a cup of coffee
at the same time. You're not gonna...
And she would, every time I started to talk again, she put more jelly beans in my mouth till I was just looked like a chipmunk, you know?
Let's see if that works now. Anybody want to help me? We'll stuff his mouth full like a chipmunk with acorns.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be dismissed in prayer. We're glad you came, and we'll be preaching Wednesday on prayer. We're going to spend some time on preaching on prayer for a few Wednesdays, and so we can get a focus on talking to the Lord. Amen? All right, Jimmy, you did good tonight. Appreciate you, buddy, and looking forward to working with you down in Galena. My wife's from Galena, by the way. Her sister's here. From Galena, by the way.
Oh, good.
Amen. Grew up in Galena. Amen. I like to never found Judy. There wasn't no electricity. All they had was an outhouse. I thought, what have I got myself into?
Well, if you knocked at the outhouse, no wonder you didn't find
her. Jimmy, we got to be dismissed. All right, we'll be dismissed in prayer. Master Brother Chris, if you dismiss us in prayer. And God bless you guys for coming out tonight.